we really believed. Like, we believed. I remember standing out arguing, me and you, BC, arguing with people in front of the studios on State Street. Like, the Bulls, we got this. That was no doubt. We knew the Bulls were going to beat the Heat. Nobody could tell us anything.
It's the future.
Down and Distance on WGNRadio.com.
All right, Down and Distance right here. Getting ready to go into our next topic, which is about to divide the room. I'm pretty sure of this.
Talking Jimmy Butler,
man. We talking. Let's start out, you know, chronologically. I want to get everybody's thoughts on the impact, organization-wise, city-wide, and just personally, with the Derrick Rose trade. Like, once you can bring it from when it happened. Hey,
I think we saw a lot of people's true colors in this city when Derrick was traded, and it was all good riddance. Hasn't been good since 2011. Yeah. Got the better end of that deal. You know, cry your way out. New York, next time Derrick takes a step off a step stool, you're going to be cringing, all this stuff. And it was nothing about what this guy gave the city for his career. It was nothing about the down times in 2009 and 2010 when he was dragging teams to the playoffs, when he helped them win, what was like, eight straight.
Isn't that amazing? I thought about this the other day. I think, Bang, we talked about it on the couch. We were waiting to hop on 79th and Hallis.
Yeah.
We really believed. Like, we believed. I remember standing out arguing, me and you, BC, arguing with people in front of the studios on State Street, like, y'all crazy. Like, the Bulls, we got this. We knew. That was no doubt. We knew the Bulls were going to beat the Heat. Nobody could tell us anything.
Man, after game one, couldn't nobody tell me.
You couldn't tell us anything.
You're talking about back then?
Right, back then.
We
literally believed. That's the belief we had. So it was like, instead of taking a step back and looking at what he really had around him, it's like, oh, man.
You know what game
was?
Yeah, we
were tripping.
Day irritates me, game four, when they went to overtime. He was going 1-on-5.
Yeah.
That's when Luol Deng, like, he couldn't say nothing to me after that. Like, he left them hanging, dog. Like, it was 1-on-5.
It was at game five. And I almost did not, like, I probably wouldn't be married right now if how I wanted to act that game five. Because me and my current wife, we went to that game. Like, my boy ended up getting me tickets at the last minute.
I remember that.
I was like, yo, you want to go to the game? She was like, yeah. After the game, I really pitched a hissy fit. Like,
I think I broke my remote that night, though. Man. When LeBron sent D-Rose shot to the stand, I was like, we going to get him next year.
Those two seasons for me, just personally, not even just being like on the media journalist side of it, but as a fan, was probably like the two best years of being a Bulls fan that
since
I can
Jordan.
Remember. Yeah, yeah, since Jordan. First of all, because obviously, you know, the first year they lost. And I tell this story all the time, man. Like, I remember Derrick Rose crying, like, real tears. Like, he really wanted to. I know he wanted to win the championship, and I know he wanted to win it for Chicago, but something in my gut tells me he really wanted to beat LeBron. He really wanted to beat LeBron. So he cried. And it was just it was just like the Cubs of last year. It was like, all right, you know what, they lost, but we right there.
You're right there.
We right there. And then the next year, he come back and he tears ACL, and it's just all just go down the toilet. And I'm like,
but I think that also goes back to what we've been saying for everybody on Twitter. Like, this goes back to Paxson and Foreman. Like, after that, he's kind of fine. I don't see how you say we need a two guard. And you go out and you get 50-year-old Rip Hamilton. Like, that's not the answer.
Shout out to Rip for getting his jersey retired.
Yeah, shout out to Rip. The new Pistons. But that was like, you should get somebody to help Derrick. Like, even if Derrick didn't tear his ACL, we probably weren't going to beat
this
team.
Leads
like, they lost in the finals last year. LeBron and Wade was on a mission that year. Like, I can still see how he beat Boston. So, I'm like, I still don't think we'd have beat them, but he needed a two guard.
This leads into my Jimmy Butler point, which was
Jimmy Butler fan club.
When the whole second superstar stuff was going on.
Now, that's the granddaddy. You the father.
you are the father for Jimmy Butler, and this is the grandfather, right here. I'm saying, I kicked it off. But when the whole second superstar talk was going on, I'm like, yo, he's right there. He's right there. It's that dude right there. And everybody laughed. Oh, no, Jimmy Butler, this, that, and the other. All right. Cool. And as the years progressed and as we saw it, we saw that Jimmy was a player. Now, obviously, you know, that created a little tick, you know, friction and tension or whatever like that. I don't really care about that. But I think had they handled that better from the jump,
man.
It would, yeah, exactly.
Had they handled it better from the, had they seen what they had in Jimmy early,
yeah,
we not having this conversation.
I agree.
That's amazing you say that. I want to get to something that you just said, but everybody, your view of the Rose trade today, has it changed? Has it changed?
Awful. I didn't like it. In the day, he had to kind of go. Yeah. It was over. I don't like who we traded for. I mean, we got Jose Calderon in the beginning of that trade, and I've never been more upset in my life of getting somebody. Robin Lopez is good.
Yeah.
Robin's nice.
You're nice.
Yeah.
Scott, I know you're going to go in on Robin Lopez.
I like Robin Lopez.
I think he'd be better off the bench if we had a more dominant starter. Robin Lopez off the bench would be phenomenal. But with saying that, he does well when he's in the game. He hustles. He plays hard. He reminds me of a slower, less athletic young Noah, of course, because Noah in his prime was fantastic.
Right.
But I liked the addition. I didn't like – Jerry and Grant has been cool, I guess.
For the D-League. Dang.
You know, it had to happen, but I wish we would have got somebody better.
This is my problem with every move the Bulls have made since trading Derek. It's that what they say and what they do does not match up.
At all.
And that makes it very hard for me as a fan or as a journalist trying to critique the team or anything at all with my response to what they do. I don't know what to say. Because if they say this is the plan and they follow the plan, then I say, cool, I get it. If they say, you know what, actually, we just want to put butts in the seats, cool, I get it. But when you say younger and more athletic.
Oh, that's the quote of the year.
And then, I mean, that is. Yeah. I mean, I'm stepping on my own quote of the year for later. But, like, that's the quote of the year. When you say that and you don't do that, when you say that and you draft Denzel Valentine, no offense to Denzel Valentine, but no one's thinking young, you know, youth and athleticism.
Right.
Exactly.
I got two perspectives on this. So as a Derrick Rose fan, just Southside, Inglewood, whatever, I was happy about the trade because I had been saying it like, yo, he need to get up out of here. Like, he needs to go. Like, it had got so negative and so toxic that he didn't want to be here. Nobody wanted him around. They had this terrible misconception and perception of him as a player and also as a person. And, you know, as much as he tried to stay above it and try to stay away from it, it wore on him, and you could see it, and, you know, he knew what was being said about him. So I was happy that he went. Not only was he traded, but he went to a place like New York. If you a basketball player, you a basketball fan, there is no better place to be.
I've got a point on that.
Than New York. Yeah. Simply because this is a place that appreciates basketball just in its purity. They love basketball, right? So, you know, you bring a guy like Derrick Rose, it's a fresh start. You know, they don't really care about the injuries. They know he's the best point guard they probably had since
ever.
Ever. You know what I'm saying? Like, and, you know, and shout out to.
He is. Yeah, because John Starks is overrated. But that's
I mean, not
story.
Even. He wasn't even the point guard. But yeah. I'm just saying, like, you know, he's.
Since, well, yeah, probably Jackson. The best since Mark Jackson and Rob was all coming off the bench behind him. Yeah.
Best point guard they had. So, I thought the city was going to embrace him. I thought Knicks fans were going to embrace him. I thought that was good. From a Bulls perspective, it's a situation of be careful what you wish for, right? Because y'all basically ran the dude out of town. You said he wasn't no good. You said he wasn't a leader, you know. And you kind of devalue everything that he did because nobody had taken the team as far as he did since Michael Jordan, right? Nobody had won MVP since Michael Jordan. So Derek did all these great things. The only thing he didn't do was not win the championship because he got hurt. And y'all turn on him like that. So now the younger and athletic, I don't see that.
No.
You know, this roster is what it is. It's not very good. They just threw whatever it was that they can get together. They replaced the butts in the seats, like Jack said. They replaced Derrick Rose with Dwayne Wade. Dwayne Wade is always going to be a draw, right? So he's going to get people coming out, but you're not going to win. And, yeah, so, I mean, this is they got what they deserve.
Well, let me just say, for me as a Derrick Rose, because I was a big Derrick Rose fan, huge Derrick Rose fan. Like, when he tore his ACL, that was probably the second worst sports moment I can remember after the Bears losing the Super Bowl. And I still ain't over that, but that's another story. And so, but I kind of feel like it was a trade that needed to happen for the simple point that I feel like he was going to leave anyway. Yeah. I feel like after this year, he was done. And I feel like a lot of people who, you know, it's easier to say now. I think it's easier now to look at what he did accomplish when he was here. But at the same time, I think we kind of forget about why it was going on. There was a lot of frustration because every year you're like, yo, I want to beat the Heat. I want to beat the Heat. And every year he kept getting injured. Now, at the same time, it's not his fault. he kept getting injured. But there was only so many times I could watch Nate Robinson. There was only so many times I can watch DJ Augustine. So you kind of got frustrated. And, you know, as a fan, sometimes you don't think rational. You're just thinking, I just want to be, you know, LeBron, especially me, because I'm LeBron James hater class 2002. And, you know, I've just wanted to beat him, but I just didn't like him going to the Knicks. I can't stand the Knicks. And I just feel like New York fans, they say they appreciate the game, but they treat Melo like crap. And I kind of believe that that organization ain't going nowhere until they finally give Pat a job. And I think the minute that Derek, let's just say, doesn't live up to expectations, they gonna crap on him.
Look,
too.
Man, Derrick Rose, what we have to understand, and BC is right, this is how you know you appreciate it, because Derrick Rose was going through a rape civil case, and he barely made the back page or the front page of the New York Times. They love people that are sports figures that are going through things to put you on the front page. That did not happen.
Yep.
They know. Let me keep that man mind frame. And even if it does go bad, they can still blame everything on Carmelo. Carmelo ain't going nowhere until he wants to go somewhere. And then when he decides to go there, he's still going to be on that back page. With that being said, I know me and Sean has talked about this a lot. Me and BC, Jack, Scott, we have talked about this. Flo's, we've talked about this a couple of times. Look, the Dwayne Wade thing was only because of tickets. And yep. for you to say that you're trying to do something. The thing about it is that's not going to win you a title, and the organization knows it. But as long as you can come to the stadium, come to United Center, we're all good with that. I said this on your joint. Nothing's going to change with the Bulls until we stop going.
Yeah.
The moment we stopped going for a minute and the team's attendance went down from first and second to sixth and seventh at home and on the road it became middle of the pack, that's when we magically got the first pick and Derek came.
Yeah.
Listen, before, man.
Before that, you felt that you can build the team with Eddie and Tyson and everything, so they tried. But at the same time, they also learned that we're going to come to this stadium regardless. Right. Because we went there with Eddie Robinson and Eddie Curry and Tyson Chandler and Eric Piakowski and Jalen Rose and Michael Sweeney.
Fred Hoiberg
did play.
He did play. Yeah. Nothing's going to change. So even when I hear these conversations about Derek and should the trade happen, yes, the trade should have happened. Should we have gotten more out of it? Yeah, but you basically told everybody you didn't want them, so you was going to get pennies on the dollar anyway. With that being said, nothing is going to change. We're going to be the middle of the road of the middle of the road. We're going to be the new Atlanta Hawks. We're going to be fighting for playoff spots. We're going to be sitting around here arguing about who's the best on the team, basically who's the tallest midget. And then from there, we either get the 8th seed, the 10th seed, 9th seed, 8th seed, 7th seed, be out quick, and we're going to start that whole debate over again. Welcome to basketball hell.
But like I said on the podcast, like with D Wade, like if Pat Riley would have showed him some respect, we're not even in this situation. And also use the analogy, like, you know, D Wade is like that girl you always wanted, but you know you didn't
this
get her.
This is crazy.
But now you know she decent. She got a couple kids though. You like, you know, she's still all right. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's pretty much what the D Wade sign.
Real tough.
Yo, I'll say this about D Wade. We were talking before the show when we were, you know, trading notes about what does this do to the fan base. And I think that you have to draw a line between two segments of that identity of fan base, because people like us, we see right through this kind of move.
Right.
We're like, come on, Like you said, you know, it's the woman who you know who got away.
Dang, you took me back on that one too.
Yeah, we all did.
But that other segment of the fan base who maybe doesn't look at it quite so intently as we do, they're like, damn, we got Dwayne Wade.
Right.
Because the LeBron and Dwayne Wade game, that game where they play each other, that's always going to be a game, and it just so happens that that's a Bulls game. You know, my mom texted me at the end of the Pacers game. She said, you see Dwayne Wade and did you see that play? That was fantastic. And, like, you know, shout out to my mom. She's a great Bulls fan, but she's not texting me if Dwayne Wade isn't on the team, because he makes those plays. He makes that anticipation steal that, you know, Larry Bird can make, that Scottie Pippen can make. I'm not getting those texts otherwise. That's that impact.
Yeah.
And, Bang, I'm going to disagree with you on this. I think something will change, and I've said this, and I'm going to go on and say it publicly. Things will change once we get Gar Forman the hell up out of there. It's over.
What, you don't think that Paxton has something to do with it? Because Paxton's little press conference he had on Christmas had me down laughing. I'm
you
like,
know what? That press conference right there let me know that ain't nobody safe. Ain't nobody safe. Like Pax, yeah. like Pat Gar- the
but
whole
Pax
Gar-
does
Pax
that
thing.
Every Christmas at State of the Union while everybody's distracted. Right. Well, let me drop this on Christmas.
Yeah. That's why I don't believe in
but,
it. Happen
but,
every year.
But if you understand like the way the top levels of the organization is set up, is you know, you got obviously you got Jerry Reinsdorf, you got Michael Reinsdorf, and then you got Pax right there. So you got
I'm praying.
There's a huge gap between Pax and Gar.
Right.
Yes,
a huge gap. And when I'm talking about when it's time to get people thrown under the bus, and Gar definitely needs to be thrown under the bus for this one.
You know what I'm praying for, BC? I'm praying that Michael Reinsdorf has some Rocky Wirtz in him.
That would Man, be if that would, if he had
that's
it,
the only way I see.
If he had it, it would have been game out. What are we gonna do? You know fire Gar Foreman and grab somebody?
Well, Rocky couldn't really, to be
Spurs
honest, Rocky really couldn't do what he was going to do until his father
Look,
passed.
This is why Gar has been here so long. Let me tell you why Gar has been here so long. Because I mean, you got to give him
you
a point. That,
put me on.
Listen, all right, you got to give him credit for building very competitive teams. You can't like the past. From, like, Derrick Rose up until, like, the last couple years, those Bulls teams were very competitive. Y'all remember when they swept the Heat that one year and they didn't have nothing?
Yeah.
They had absolutely nothing. Like, Kirk Heinrich was the best player on the team, right?
Yeah.
Gar has drafted well. They've always struck out in free agency, but he's always been able to find some guys.
Drafted well up until
the last three years. It's been real sketchy. But he bought himself some time because he drafted well and he assembled pretty good competitive teams. He whiffed on the coach. Vinny Del Negro was very bad, and Hoiberg might be worse.
I was about to say, which one is worse?
Yeah, Hoiberg is definitely worse than Vinny Del Negro.
I'm not going
to
call him my name.
But the Tibbs thing was great. Derrick Rose, they lucked into that, but they would actually turn that around. Like, because I remember Lou Alden used to get trashed for being soft and this, that, and the other. They bring in Tibbs, and he changed their whole game around. So he bought himself some time, but what he messed up was when the rift with Tibbs started happening, and he basically turned Tibbs off, and then he went and got his boy from Iowa State, who is a college coach. He is not an NBA coach. He is a college coach. And then you lie to the fan base talking about younger, more athletic. You lie saying that we still going to compete this, that, and the other. And now you got this mess. You got a 35-win team in your lap. You can't make it like that, bro. Like,
I think that's an organizational line, not a Gar Foreman line. That's an organizational line. That's why I don't think things are going to change.
So this goes back to organizations winning championships.
That's why I never – and I just got to say this real quick, JP. That's why I didn't mind when Jerry Krause said organizations win championships, because I think the whole free agency thing is just a way of us saying nobody – come. Like, who was supposed to come here? You know, I think that's a whole myth that we bring onto ourselves. That's one. Two, we're still jaded, and you say it all the time, we're still jaded at the fact that we won 6 rings by a player who fell into our lap in the first place in Michael Jordan. Gar Foreman, Jerry Krause drafted well. Like, he drafted well, too. I just think in the situation.
But he also made smart.
He made smart decisions in that thing. But what I'm saying is that we lucked up for 6 rings when you think about it. And that's the only thing we have to go on. Derrick Rose we lucked on. That's the only thing we have to go on. LeBron, ain't nothing changing until LeBron retires. Ain't nothing changing until Golden State breaks down.
Here's the difference nothing, between.
So we're going to still be competitive people who goes to the playoffs possibly and keep people in the seats.
I think it boils down to the GM, though. And the difference between Krause and Gar Foreman for me is that at least Jerry Krause made some ambitious moves. And I ain't talking about just drafting. Like, he made, you know, he took some risks. He picked up Dennis Rodman. You know, he traded that.
He tried to trade Pitt for what? Kemp?
For,
and
you know, he traded four. Then
he traded Olden Polynice.
Yeah, he flipped Olden Polynice.
And got Scotty.
Yeah, but so
but later on, during the second three-peat, he tried to trade him for Kemp.
He tried to trade him three times.
Trade him three times. But Krause was always aggressive. I think Krause was really committed to winning. I think he really wanted to win a basketball championship, even though he was a baseball guy. I think he was really committed to winning. I think Gar Foreman is really committed to keeping his job.
Right, that is true.
But even with Bang, we keep that conversation going off there because I got something for that.
But even what Bang was saying with the free agent thing, now it's really an organizational thing with the new CBA. It's going to be harder for you to be getting new free agents. Like, it's giving teams a greater chance to keep all their stars. So now you really got to be good with drafting. I have zero faith in Gar Foreman. Like you said, I really believe he's just trying to keep his job. That's really all. It's like when you're in a job you hate, but you're like, yo, I got to pay my bills. I'm just going to do enough to not get fired. That's what Gar Foreman.
It's so funny because in the NBA draft, you either want to be top five or bottom 10.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right? Because that,
worst possible.
Because that, you know, once you get five through like 15, it's like real sketchy unless you have a tremendously deep draft.
Man, you can't. If you're in the teens, 13 to 16.
No, that's what I'm saying. I don't know a player. I mean, Rodney Hood was like what, 15, 16?
The Bulls could have had
him. The Bulls could have had him. That's the one we said they missed on.
They missed on him.
Doug McDermott was drafted two spots ahead of Zach LaVine,
and they moved up.
And they traded three picks for him. You trade three first round picks for Doug McDermott, though? Doug McDermott, who's almost up out of here. You had us waiting 3-4 years for Nikola Mirotic, who is trash.
Doug McDermott hurt his shin by missing three-pointers.
and then you get Denzel Valentine. You, and God. I was wrong about Denzel Valentine. Like, I think he's a very good basketball player, but he's not an athlete.
He's not an athlete.
You know what I'm saying? He's not some guy that you're going to put on your shoulders. I'm already sketchy about dudes who stay in college 4 years anyway.
Right.
Things and I'm even change, more sketchier when a guy's had a knee surgery in high school, like Denzel Valentine, and this is the dude that you draft.
But he played for a winner.
Hey, there you go.
He played for a winner.
Man, look, I was done with Gar Foreman when he drafted Marcus Teague sight unseen. I was done with Draymond Green.
Wait a minute, that was sight unseen?
Sight unseen. Derrick Rose told him, don't take him. He can't play.
Tibbs wanted Draymond Green.
Yep.
Jack, before we move on to Jimmy Butler,
I didn't know
that. Is Gar gone after this season?
No. Gar might have all sorts of secrets. I mean, he should have been gone. So I for real.
BC, is Gar gone after this season?
Yeah, I think he's gone to Fred right with him.
You know what? I play it. He's gonna be gone. We're gonna get somebody from the Bang has on your no Spurs faith organization.
Zero faith. Joe Flo's.
Not even remotely. Chicago franchises have a habit of keeping people too long. He's got like 2 years left in him. Especially if we get in like in I hope. If we want to get him out of here, I just hope we don't make the playoffs. Because if we make the playoffs, it's another excuse. Oh, well, we did this. And, of course, Paxton will come on the press conference and say, I like the way our team
I think that's why he's going to get up out of here, because I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. That's thing one. What worries me, though, is even if you send away Gar, does Jerry Reinsdorf pay another coach to leave?
Nope.
That's what's really concerning. I think Gar, you could probably move on from him and get another GM.
Well, Hoiberg gets another.
Are you going to write another $5 million check? He had a $5 million deal for 5 years, and he's on, what, year two?
Yep.
So are you going to pay him fits? Because ain't nobody else picking him up.
Right.
You forget that. He's not going to be an NBA coach nowhere else. So now you're going to pay this dude $15 million to leave? I don't know if that happens.
And so they still paying Tibbs, right?
No.
I mean, it's gone. Yeah. That's my bad.
But I'll say that if the Bulls miss the playoffs, I think Farmer will be going. If they don't, he's really next year. Yep.
JP.
What up?
Hey, it's time to get on to number 21, man.
That's your boy.
Just for this segment, right? Stop playing with me, man. Stop playing with me right now.
That's your boy, man. Jimmy Butler.
I'm going to take the lead of BC. And for this segment, he will be known as number 21 to me.
And you know what? Hey, you know what? I'm going to say this. I'm just going to put it on record. I'm tired as hell of talking about Jimmy Butler.
I am too.
I'm tired of
You have to,
about
though.
Jimmy.
Well, it gets clicks.
I'm in D.C. now.
it's kind of like that Sun Times reporter and Derrick Rose. It gets clicks, man.
I'm only tired because we shouldn't even be having a conversation.
Oh, God.
That's the whole point. We shouldn't even be having a conversation. That's why I'm tired.
Absolutely. What now, I will say this. A lot of people, we talked about this, BC, and I'll use myself as an example. I think I've been very upfront and honest. And we talked about this on Twitter a couple of weeks ago. I tell people all the time, look, I'm not one of these people that use social media to try and be slick to go at Jimmy Butler. I have too much audio that clearly tells you how I feel about Jimmy Butler. I've been upfront on this podcast, on this platform. I've been up front in conversations, not only with BC. I have changed recently.
A little bit.
I've changed recently, and I've been open. But I've been open because of the dialogue. I don't know him like that. C4, knows him more. BC, you know him more. So we sit back. I hear what you guys say. And I'm like, okay, I see that. I get that. My whole point is there is something, and I think we could agree with this, certain things he should have handled differently in the transition. I think he was used by the organization mightily. I think they used him to not only get the dirty work done and to spread the narrative.
They used him to throw Derek under
the bus. They used him to throw Derek under the bus, and he fell for it. And he fell for it. I don't think there was an issue per se between him and Derek. BC, you told me some things.
I'm going to go and say it.
Go and say that Jimmy actually did go to both of them individually and say, yo, man, just out of, man, I want to win. Not understanding where Derek was personally, I don't think he really took that into consideration, everything that he was going through. And I think Joe was just pretty much on the big brother thing, like, dude.
Derek got killed, particularly in the media, from not even a handful of players, really just one player, but he got two players. But he got killed in the media from his teammates for not practicing, right? But you got to understand, when you go through three knee surgeries in 3 years, Derek goes hard in the summer. He is a beast in the summer. But during the regular season, he chill because he's trying to make it to 82. And if they make it to the playoffs, because he understands that, you know what, my team is going to need me. So during the regular season and practices and stuff like that, he's not really going as hard, right? Yeah. So if you're a player and you know, and you've never had an injury and, you know, and you see him doing all these incredible things in spurts, you might start to get, you know, you might start to feel a way. Like, yo, I see you doing this, that, and the other, but in practice you don't go hard, right? So that kind of thing gets misconstrued. Derek's heart was always in the right place, but he was smart. He's saving his body. So the beef in the locker room was between Derek Rose and Pau Gasol, and it was between Jimmy Butler and Joakim Noah. The Derek and the Pau thing was because Pau played with a maniac in Kobe Bryant. You know what I'm saying? The dude who went hard, you know, hurt, injured, whatever, it didn't matter. So that's what he's used to from his superstar player teammate. So he gets to see Derek. He don't really understand, like, yo, this dude's been cut on 3 times. He's not trying to go through another rehab. Derek's whole thing is, I do not want to rehab ever again in my life. I'm done with that. He didn't get that. The Jimmy Butler and Joakim Noah thing was Jimmy started rising. Joe kind of flattened out. Then he fell off, not because he couldn't play, but because he got hurt. So he started seeing Jimmy kind of feeling himself a little bit. And Joakim tried to bring her back down, like, yo, bring her back to earth. Like, yo, you was my rookie, this, that, and the other. So it wasn't really a beef, but it was just more or less like you see your little brother growing up. You know what I'm saying? And,
so
you know,
Joe
and,
was hating.
Right. And now he don't. Yeah, you could kind of put it like that. Like, now he ain't really feeling what you, you know. He ain't really feeling the moves that you're making. Right. So that's what that was all about. Mike Dunleavy Jr. is the leak in the locker room. And he leaked it.
Say that again. Say that again.
I figured he was
Mike
leaked.
Dunleavy Jr. was the leak.
And still and talked when he got to Cleveland.
He was the leak. And Tibbs was the leak, too. But true. Tibbs leaked. Tibbs true. Had a different agenda for his leaking.
Right.
Mike Dunleavy Jr. was hating. And the common denominator in all of this is Joe Cowley, right? So all of the
you just putting
moves,
all the names
yeah,
out there.
I don't care. All of the, you know, all of
down
the
a distance, folks.
Yeah,
WGN.
You know what I'm saying? Like, hey,
that's how we get it done.
Goodness.
Yeah, all of the Joe Cowley for an entire 2 years, 2.5 years, shaked the entire Derrick Rose narrative.
Yeah.
Everything about it. And I noticed because when I get in a conversation with people on Twitter, anything like that, they parrot everything he says. Everything he said. Now, he wasn't talking like nobody ever quoted KC.
Facebook Live.
Nobody ever quoted, you're right, you know what I'm saying? Nobody ever quoted KC. KC is a good dude. He going to call his, you know,
KC's
like
the best.
Just for the record.
Call it straight.
Just for the record, KC Johnson on Down and Distance told us, this was in the middle of the last season, Derrick Rose is still the best NBA player on this team.
Absolutely.
Yep, that's when Jimmy was rising.
He did.
He told us on this podcast, I don't care what anybody says, Derrick Rose is still the best NBA player on this roster.
And
when he said it, I kind of sat up like, but guys like him and Sam Smith that don't fall for the narratives, you see how they view Derek, and it's like, okay.
Real quick.
Yo.
Real quick. Are you going to go back and do this all over again? Or do you,
No.
I mean, I got my – I need this on Facebook.
You need that Facebook Live.
I don't care.
All right, hold on. Hold on real quick.
In the words of Ray J, are we lying?
Are we lying? But no, nah, I mean, I, you know.
Hold up, BC.
I'm
going
to make a different point. I'm gonna circle back on what you want me to circle back to, but I'm going to make a different point. If you look the past 2-3 years, right, from like when Derek got hurt up until he got traded last year, there's only one person in the media who ever trashed him. All of the guys that surround the team, all of the beat writers, they was all supportive of Derek, right? Sam Smith, KC, Agre Sam, Vince, all those guys, they all supported him. It was only one person. Well, it was two, but he not around the team like that. Dan Bernstein, he not around like that. But yeah, it was two people in the city.
I mean, Cowley was his connector.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? That was shaping the entire narrative of the Bulls, Derrick Rose conversation. Two people.
Yeah.
And how these two people spread these rumors and made them true, mm-hmm, I never get it. Now, what you
all
mean?
All right, so now I just need hold up, real quick, just to get all this out again. Go back, basically, the whole conversation. Sean could cut this out of the podcast. But how did this all go down? Because there were some issues, right, BC?
We're explaining the beefs, right?
The beefs.
The narratives.
On the Bulls team, man.
You on your Facebook Live? I got to share this. I want to make sure that you share.
So, BC,
we live on Instagram, too.
Yeah. Let's get it in.
Right, this just show you how much I don't care, because I'm tired of this. I'm tired of the conversation.
I'm really tired
of it, right? Okay. All right, so the last 2-3 years, the beef in the locker room ran down like this. It was Derrick Rose and Pau Gasol.
Okay.
And it was Jimmy Butler and Joakim Noah.
Okay.
The Pau Gasol, Derrick Rose beef was because, and by extension, a little bit of Jimmy, was because they saw Derrick not working as hard in practice as they did.
Okay.
But not understanding that Derrick has had three knee injuries.
How do you not understand that? I don't understand how you don't understand being a professional. There was days where I would come into the locker room in Tennessee and knew that Steve McNair was not going to practice because of what he did on game day. I knew it. It was just respect. And even guys that came from other teams that had credentials, they knew the same thing. Steve would take days off, but when he would always be there on game day. He was trying to save himself to be able to play, man. It don't matter if you're playing football, if you're playing basketball. Professional sports is rough, and it's a grind on your body. And just because you played with somebody else, like Powell did with Kobe, still doesn't make sense with just trying to be like, oh, you need to be like him too.
Yeah.
Everybody's different. Everybody's body is different in how they handle injuries, dude.
So Powell, okay, coming from ahead, a background bad. Playing with, you know, a talented sociopath in Kobe Bryant, who rain, sleet, shine, injured, hurt, whatever, he gonna go out and he gonna go hard in practice. So that's what he was used to. Powell saw Derek doing that. He didn't, you know, taking it easy or whatever, saving his body. He didn't like that. Jimmy and Joe, you know, his big brother, little brother. Joe on the way down, Jimmy on the way up. Jimmy started feeling himself a little bit. It's a little beef and it's a little friction there. Like you said, you know, Joe might have been hating a little bit. The leak in the locker room where all of this news came from was Mike Dunleavy Jr. and Tom Thibodeau. Tibbs had his reason. I don't know what Mike Dunleavy Jr.'s reason was, but he only talked to one person, and this one person shaped the narrative about Derrick Rose and the Chicago Bulls, which is Joe Cowley, for the past 2 years, right? We all know Joe Cowley, sometimes or whatever, got into, he has his moments, and, you know, he has a reputation for putting his foot in his mouth and saying things off the cuff that he shouldn't say. And he also has other agendas within the organization that I won't talk about.
Okay.
But, yeah, that's where all of it came from.
So he's trying to get a job?
Go ahead, Jack. Now you understand why I glean off of cats like BC, C4. If you're in this game, let me just tell, if you're in this game.
Between me and them,
right.
No.
I don't care. I will call your name. You're not going to hide behind no organization or no publication. Why? Because I keep it too real. I don't have to lie.
Right.
I don't have to do that.
Right.
And I believe in informing people and telling people the truth.
Right.
So that's why I call your name. If you got a problem, you know how to get to me.
Call me.
Here's the thing about shaping the narrative, what you said about one guy shaping the narrative and what we talked about earlier about the different factions of Bulls fans. You can see where a Bulls fan is coming from if they're only quoting one single source,
right,
versus if they're saying, well, I read this from KC, I read this from Sam Smith, I read this from, you know, Sarah Spain, Scoop Jackson, whoever.
Right.
If they are coming at it from a 360-degree angle and searching for all the information. Those are the kind of Bulls fans who I talk to. Those are the kind of Bulls fans who I want to surround myself with. And it just goes more so to just sports, life, whatever it is. We've gotten into a situation as consumers of media where we are too focused on maybe one person or one story or one idea. And that's a journalist's responsibility as well. If Joe Cowley is just looking for one kind of story, then that's a fault on him as well.
Mm-hmm. But you know what? And I'm going to give you another theory too, right? Because, like I said, you know, we all know Sam Smith. He kept it 100 with the Bulls and Derek, and also KC Johnson. He was also real. Sam Smith with the Bulls, KC with the Tribune. I think, and this just could be me because I grew up a huge reader of the Chicago Sun-Times and not the Chicago Tribune for one reason only. The Sun-Times was easier to read.
It's a magazine form.
Yes, it is a magazine
form. You
know
what I'm saying? Like I turn
technically,
it to the
it's
back,
a tabloid, right?
Yes, yeah, I can turn it to the back, and the sports is right there, and I can read from back to front, the sports, right?
Right.
So it's easy. I can get it, read it, I'm done with it. It's over. Tribune comes folded, right?
Sections.
So I gotta get to the, you know what I'm saying? I gotta get to the sports sections. Then
you gotta
I gotta
get to
unfold
the meat and potatoes.
Then I gotta open it. So it's a little bit harder for me to get that information. So the Sun-Times got it sweet just because of the way their paper is laid out. You know what I'm saying? It makes the information easier to get to. And if your entire goal, or you know, as a consumer of media, is to get it as easily as possible, in Chicago, don't get no easier than the Sun-Times.
Mm-hmm. Hey, man.
So, with all that being said, man, I have changed my tune on number 21. There's certain things that I still believe, but, you know, sitting down with people that really know the crust of everything and what was going on at the core, it's like, okay, I get it. Last but not least, I still like to say he's not elite.
Nope.
He's not elite. I'm not moving off of that. He's not a number one, in my opinion. I hold the rights to that.
How much Paul George score on him?
I hold, dude, we can go back to Giannis back-to-back games look, just a couple weeks ago. If you want to do that.
D-Wade was guarding Giannis. His, look,
we can go back to Kawhi on Christmas Day, too.
Here's what I'm going to say about that. You cannot fairly judge Jimmy when you're surrounded with bums.
No. This is my point. I disagree. I disagree. This is my point. I disagree. Because I know you're going to be like, all right, cool. So you basically what you're telling me is that you can't elevate yourself in the eyes of people unless you're around good players. Because I can pull a bunch of NBA cats caught my eye subpar teams.
Sean, before you go. Go ahead.
I was just going to say with Jimmy, and I said the same thing on our podcast. I don't remember Jimmy ever being a number one in his basketball career.
Never.
Whether we're going back to Marquette. Mm-hmm. So for me, this is really all new to him. Now, is he a number one? He can be a number one, maybe if he gets more time. But I think it's unfair to criticize him because he didn't come into the Chicago Bulls organization to be that guy. You know, it wasn't like Derrick Rose. Derrick Rose had plenty of time to be a number one when he was a Simeon, even when he was in college.
He was a number one at Beasley. So
exactly.
I mean,
he was
that
number
dude,
one everywhere.
Yeah.
And so when it comes to Jimmy Butler, I see a person who is learning to be the number one.
That's my point. Which leads me to the Dwayne Wade comments, and I'm going to let Bang go ahead.
You said the same thing on our podcast about the Dwayne Wade.
Look, the Dwayne, I didn't think Dwayne Wade was being slick.
No.
I thought he definitely was putting Hoiberg out.
He threw him out.
Called him out.
Stop with this.
My point with this is, yo, I don't want to hear anything about pressure on a cat in a fourth quarter. It comes with the territory, dude. And it goes back to your point, say he's just learning. Mm-hmm. So I'm with that.
Okay.
I told BC via text last week, like, yo, he still has room to grow, and BC said, "Nah, he's maxed out."
I do think he's maxed out.
So if BC thinks he's maxed out, then
that's
like,
"That's why I say you need to put talent around him."
Okay, then
Jimmy Butler's not gonna get any better than what he already is right now, right? So in order to fairly critique him, you have to put talent around him that can compete, that can win.
Yeah. So it goes.
No.
Because if you look at this, look, think about this.
To the untrained eye. I agree with
Listen,
that.
Hold on. Let me make this point. As a number one guy, which Jimmy Butler is, right? You go back in Bulls history, of all of the guys who had that number one title, Jimmy Butler has the worst team around him than anybody
who's ever been the main guy in Chicago. Hold on, BC. But it goes back to what I was saying earlier, my G, and I keep saying this. It ain't going to get no better. Who we expect to come here to basically be second or first fiddle to Jimmy? Is that
Jimmy's fault or is that the front office
this
fault?
Exactly. It's not Jimmy's fault.
Jimmy only plays for the team.
Right. Listen, it's everybody's fault, but the idea that Jimmy is, quote, still learning, you have to put a ceiling on that.
Yes.
Because at a certain, when you sign that deal,
thank you.
That's it. Your narrative has changed.
That's all I'm saying.
Everybody,
Jimmy, 1995, if we were like, Jim Carrey's not really a movie star.
I ain't saying Jimmy that came through and pushed the papers in front of everybody and saying, this is my team.
I mean, if we watch him every year, he's improved.
When you sign that contract, you know what comes to your, you know what's coming.
Listen, now you got to switch up for yourself.
When I say
still learning, we all agreed that he's never been a number one anywhere, right?
Yeah, anywhere.
So that takes time. Jimmy has only really been in this superstar status, what, 2 years? 3 years?
This is first year, really.
It ain't going to change, though.
But is that really his fault, though?
It's not going to change.
Last year, you still had the Derrick Rose thing and the Joe Kim Noah thing. This is the first year was actually his time. So you got
to
give him a little more.
JP, you told a story to me once, and I think this encapsulates the Jimmy Butler point, right? When your pops bought you the M3.
Oh, yeah.
Huh. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, oh, you know, I'm used to driving this, that, the other. This is cool. I got this. You know what I'm saying? Then you upgrade, right?
You upgrade.
And you get behind the wheel of this way more powerful car. Yeah. And the first thing you do is 0 to 80 in 2 seconds, and you get pulled over.
I mean, and that's his lifestyle right now.
You know what I'm saying?
I mean, and hold up.
It takes a little while
to get. But my thing is, that's my only thing. It's not going to change. So either you have to adjust, or you make them adjust. But we know he's not going to make the Bulls organization adjust to anything. So you have to do something within you and within your game. I'm not trying to compare him to James Harden or whatever. But what I can say to somebody like James Harden is you got another coach that everybody was already poo-pooing on when he was going to get here. Ain't nothing going to change it. He had to switch his game around, and look what he's doing. I'm not saying that Jimmy can't do it, but I'm not saying that he can't
either. Look at the other stuff James Harden got working with him, right?
First of all, he got a lot working with him either. Ooh. He's making them work.
First of all, James Harden got people who can shoot. That's number one.
He got better talent around him that fits what he's able to do. That's the first thing.
Yes.
And for the past 2 years, he's had a way better coach.
Yep.
Way better coach.
Wait, yes.
Now, if Tibbs is still here, we probably not having this conversation.
I think we still are having this conversation.
I don't know.
Wait, that's interesting. If Tibbs is here, is Derek still here?
Bring Tibbs back.
If Tibbs is here, we having a discussion of why Dwayne Wade out in December.
If Tibbs was here, it'd be the same old stuff. I'm telling you, all I'm saying is, if we're saying all of this, and I don't think you're wrong, I don't think any of us are wrong. What I'm saying is, we gonna be saying the same thing.
Hold up. Go ahead.
Briefly, when I'm talking about Jimmy Butler still learning, I'm not saying he's about to just jump and start scoring 30 points a game. That's not what I'm talking about.
He's scoring 25.
He's doing good. That may be his ceiling of talent, but I mean adjusting to the leadership role.
Thank you. Derrick Rose was here. That's what we're not talking about.
It's impossible for you to be that number one guy.
Listen.
So I'm saying give him a chance to just adjust.
Let me ask you guys this question. He becomes a leader. What changes with the Chicago Bulls?
Well, that's not his fault, though.
No, I'm not saying this ain't about fault. This ain't about fault. I'm asking, if Jimmy was a leader, so to speak,
listen,
what changes?
I don't know if it all...
I can't say he's going to close out games better. I can't say that. But I know one thing. If he can worry about himself and fix himself, because it seems like he got a lot coming to him real fast.
Yeah.
It wasn't just the contract he signed. I'm seeing this dude in national ads on TV. This dude has – I mean – he got a lot real fast, and he's never been in that position before.
Man, shouts out to Marky Mark.
And friends like Marky Mark that took him to another level, who he was hanging with, and the people. I could only imagine those conversations of sitting down with with Mark Wahlberg, him being like, listen, man, and when people start filling your head with stuff, you really do start to believe it, regardless if it's something that people are throwing at you from left field. He needs to figure out himself. It's like being in any relationship.
You walk
if
on,
you
roll
can't
on shooter.
Listen,
on
if USA you yeah, if you can't be a better
ten
you,
10-3 coming soon.
Because who? Someone made the comment. Who wants to come here and play second fiddle?
Nobody.
Right?
Nobody.
Okay, so he needs to work on himself to be in a better place where that maybe can happen. Where he's not, because I know guys talk around the league. I'm not in basketball. I play football, but I know those conversations in football, like. Yeah, that, dude
look,
kinda, that dude's kind of this
my,
and
the only, know, thing, the only way change. To fairly the only way to fairly answer the question that you asked, Bang, is if you first have you first have to outline what the expectation is, right? And with no expectations, it's easy to throw Jimmy under the bus because we know this is not a championship
team. I'm not really throwing him under
this
the bus.
This is barely
though.
A playoff
I'm just,
team.
I'm not really throwing him under the bus. I'm just saying that you have some players when the leadership key comes on, things change. I just don't think he's that player.
Okay.
I think
we're all saying the same thing. We're just labeling it a different
that's
way.
Why, yeah. That's yeah. why yeah. we're gonna be yeah. saying that's the what, same thing.
I say he's not elite, but my perception again. Of elite is different.
And everybody's
and
different.
Basically, we're saying the same thing. It's like, look, he's not, and I'm not comparing him to generational cats. Yeah. You know, generational cats like
LeBron,
Bird, Magic, Jordan, LeBron,
KD.
To be honest, I would have said Steph.
Come on, man.
Steph is.
Come on, man.
Oh,
Steph is famous. But my point is this: he is. I will say this because I was honest. I used to call Jimmy a tier three player. I used to tell you like he's tier three, right? Because I used to put Westbrook. I used to put Westbrook on tier two of. And now I'm like, okay, Westbrook to me has kind of elevated himself. Harden, but it's all about your label.
Yeah,
you know what you say, star. What star or superstar for me might not be star or superstar for you, but ultimately, if we sit down and talk, we're basically saying the same thing. Jimmy Butler is a 24-6 rebound, 4-5 assists guy.
And that's
yo,
pretty
Sean,
good.
That's pretty good. That's top 10, 15. Depending upon who you talk to.
Here's the
that's
thing
basically
that's not
who he is.
Fair. Here's the thing that's not fair about the comparisons between Jimmy and Kawhi is that they've got, as we've said, different levels of talent around them. And that is particularly relevant to a player like Jimmy Butler or Kawhi Leonard who benefits more so from the players around him. There is a difference between being the number one guy on a championship team as Shaquille O'Neal and being the, quote, number one guy in a championship team as Ben Wallace.
Right.
And the difference is the way that the team is put together, the way that all the pieces fit, and what is being asked of you. Jimmy is doing what is being asked of him and what he can do. So the idea that we would compare him to Paul George or that we would compare – really the problem with Kawhi Leonard, comparing Jimmy to Kawhi and saying, well, one second, why isn't Jimmy a Finals MVP? Because Jimmy doesn't have a team that can get to the playoffs.
Well, no, I don't think that's the compare. Look, man, this is what I tell people. I'm going to try to disrespect. Look,
go
man,
ahead.
We get into, like, sabermetrics and numbers and all this stuff, and people start throwing numbers. Look, man, it's two things. It's a trained eye and it's an untrained eye.
Oh, man.
Period.
Yeah.
It's a trained eye and it's an untrained eye.
Yes.
The trained eye doesn't need numbers. It doesn't need comparison. Mm-hmm. It doesn't need championship, MVP. You stand out there and watch on the court, and you know if you have the trained eye who's better. Period. So it's like there's no way anybody with a trained eye will watch Jimmy Butler and Kawhi Leonard and not say
disrespecting 25-5-5.
No, no. Who said we disrespected it?
But here's my.
But don't disrespect Tony Kemp. Wait.
Jimmy. That's a great. Jimmy scored averaged what 21 last year.
21.
He averaged 21 last year, right?
Yeah.
He's averaging 25 right now. In the words of J.R. Bang, Derrick Rose left. Who else is going to get those points?
Who else?
If Derek was here, he still would be averaging 21.
Yes, who else going to get
period.
25?
Hold on. I got a couple points on that. Number one, you can't go in on somebody. He's like one of five players putting up those numbers. We don't say that about Russ when he's putting up triple-doubles. He's like, well, he ain't got nobody else he's playing with. I think a lot of the stuff that comes with Jimmy Butler only got nothing to do with basketball.
No.
I think it's got all
no, see,
with Derek. Hold on. Let me get
yeah,
this off.
Because
I think a lot of
at
it.
At me, fam.
I ain't talking about you. No, Bang said this last year, so you were feeling that last. I feel like since D. Rose left, a lot of people, it's like the unsuccessful version of the Kobe-Shaq breakup. Like, you know, I know from living in L.A., if you tell me all the time, oh, we didn't like Kobe till like a couple years ago. Like, Shaq was still the guy. Yeah. So I kind of feel like there's a lot of people who just mad at Jimmy because they think he kicked D-Rose out.
Yeah, that's
which
true.
Is a crazy story. And another stupid thing I hear is the Jimmy Hollywood thing. So what is his fault? Because he wants to embrace his stardom and Derek didn't. So that makes him...
Right, Derek got knocked for that.
Right.
For not even being sociable.
In my conversation, that has no relevance with me.
No,
and you talk about this all the time.
Even with the Kawhi thing, like, do I think Kawhi's better? Yes, I do. But I don't think that it's like this far of a gap. I think you put Jimmy on the Spurs, they the same team.
Nah.
I don't think takes his Bulls team to another level.
You know, you know what? I can
agree with that. BC, it wouldn't be the same team, but go ahead.
I can agree with that to this point. Whereas what Jimmy's doing, he did that himself. You know what I'm saying? Just from working harder and working on his game.
I see what you
Whereas with Kawhi Leonard, you already got a built-in system of success.
So now you're blaming Kawhi for what he was born.
I'm just saying, Kawhi
landed in a very fortunate situation. He went into an organization that was used to winning. They've had stability. How long has Pop been there? You know what I'm saying? Pop been there for a minute. So all of that
okay,
stuff.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Do you consider Tom Brady the best quarterback in the NFL?
I knew he was going there.
Did he land in a great situation? Did he get a Super Bowl?
Not at the time.
He won a Super Bowl. He won a Super Bowl throwing 140 yards. Okay, do you count the Super Bowl against the Rams? Do you count that in his tally?
I know this.
You count that Super Bowl his tally when he beat the Rams.
I got to defend Tom Brady.
Right? Yes. You count the tally, with Ben Roethlisberger had the worst QBR in Super Bowl history, but you count that win, right?
He won. Yeah.
Right? Because they was great situations, right? Great teams.
He did nothing.
Nothing.
I was there.
All right? Cool. So I don't want to hear about Kawhi had this person, that person, this person, that person.
Let me ask this question, Jimmy, when
you watch them play, who's the better player? Y'all talking about all these semantics, dude. I'm talking about who's better.
I think Kawhi the better player. I don't think
that's it.
Barely.
Right. It has nothing to do with who's on his team.
Let me ask the back.
None of that.
I think everybody agrees that Kawhi's better.
We're just disagreeing on the amount of. But here's the better question, and we know this answer, but I'm just going to ask it. How many players in the NBA you could put them on any team and the team changes in the first place?
Three or four.
But those are generational.
With that being said,
nobody's accusing Jimmy Butler being a generational talent.
I don't think people are accusing him of that, but because of the position that he's in,
that's the wrong
we're
expectation.
Overvaluing him because it's not that many in the NBA in the first place.
Not overvaluing. They got the wrong expectation of him.
Do we all agree that Jimmy's at least top 10, top 15 player?
Definitely.
I gave him top dub.
Yeah.
I don't know about top dub.
And we're not going to get to that argument. That's my
top 20? So you got him in between 15 and 20. I think I said 15, 20
where he at.
On a podcast?
You said
15. I think I said 15.
I said top 15.
I thought he was 20.
He could be 12.
I got about 11 or 10. He's about to hit me because
I'm thinking. But if he's top 15, this is the point. And I think both sides is all right. I agree with you on the Derek angst.
Yeah.
And I agree with you on the expectations. But I think both sides need to chill a little bit because I think both sides go to the extreme.
But you know what, though?
I think the Derek side needs to chill and say, yo.
But you know what? It's more than just two sides. It's a bunch of little things. And, like, everybody got their own little different arguments about Jimmy. But the root of it, you're right, the root of it is, one, they think he ran Derrick Rose out. And the other is they think he's just Hollywood. Like, he got, you know.
That Hollywood stuff I can care less about. My whole thing is when I watch you on the court, my point is it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what KD, who KD plays with. KD's a scorer. You can book KD for about 29, 30. You can put him on Golden State. You can put him on OKC. No matter what system, he's going to do what he does. Bron is the type of dude, when you put him around talent, his numbers will go down because he'll adjust his game. Mm-hmm. Based upon who's around him. That's the next thing you want to see from Jimmy. Jimmy's averaging 25 now. So if and when you do get other talent around you,
How's your game going to adjust?
Right.
We know right now you're doing a 25 a game because you have to, period. You have to. You picked up the points that left when Derek walked out the door. If and when the Bulls,
right, all 16 of them.
If and when the Bulls do something, which leads to my final point, to me, Jimmy Butler for this organization is Chris Sale. He's Chris Sale.
Can't really disagree.
Controversy around him. He's hot. The greatest thing I love about Jimmy is that he's a great salesman, and the rest of the league loves him just as much as he loves himself. There are people around the NBA that think Jimmy Butler is like, give us Jimmy Butler. So, if that's the case, do you look to trade him? BC,
look,
you don't want to hear that. Listen to me from this point. I don't trust the front office. And because of that, I have no belief that they will ever put anything around Jimmy Butler. Period.
Look, man.
And that said, I want Jimmy to go somewhere else. If it's going to be like that, I would much rather watch younger cats.
Can I say this? Can I say this? One, like I said at the beginning of this segment, I'm tired of talking about Jimmy Butler. Two, has anyone fallen faster than Steph Curry?
Oh, I agree.
He's
at least down on his knees.
I think Steve Kerr is using him wrong. I think he's not getting enough possessions.
Scott!
What? I do. Scott. He shot the ball 11 times. And I saw a stat where he don't have a ball as much as he did the last year. And this got to be a point where I think they're trying to give KD his shots. But KD's a guy who's going to get his shots. And we saw that with somebody like Russ. And I think Russ is one of the people where assists lie, because Russ does hold the ball. And we saw that with KD. And so I think if they let Steph be aggressive, it's going to work out. Now, I will say, against the Cavs, he's ghost. And I don't – with KD or without KD, that's always been the question.
I don't think the presence of KD is taking shots away from Steph. If anything, I think it's probably hurting Draymond as far as getting shots. I think Steph is deferring a lot to KD. I think that's one thing. But also
very interesting in his walk year too.
Yeah, but I also think that after what Steph has done the last 2 years, teams are playing him different. They playing them real different. They getting up in them.
I think they watched what Cleveland did.
He's not able
to handle that.
I watch my basketball with the train die. I'm not about to sit up here and act like I know every play in the book, but it just seems to me that Luke Walton was using him a lot differently and a lot better than Steve Kerr has.
You're talking about when Steve Kerr was out.
They won a championship with Steve Kerr.
I'm talking about when they was out. You see the difference now of how Luke was kind of using him as opposed to like how Steve Kerr was
using the same way.
It don't seem like it to me. That's because they got KD.
It's even with KD, maybe it is because of KD.
I don't know. It just seems to me, however, that it's a difference when Luke Walton had him.
So this is the problem. And this is why Steph is not, for me, has fallen from that top level, right? We just said no matter what system KD goes to, he's going to be him.
Right.
No matter how you use him, he's going to drop 30. LeBron, he might not score as much, but you'll see him be more effective in other areas. His assists will go up. Yeah. He'll do everything else. I don't want to hear about coaching, play, system. If you're that dude, No matter what system, what play call, you're that dude. I think it started before the finals. I really do. I think it started before the finals. I think it started before the finals. Because I think the mentality of guys like Westbrook and Kyrie that are really going to go at him.
He balled out on them in the West Conference Finals.
Yeah, he did. No, matter of fact, Steph in the West Conference Final only had like four good games.
The last three games, he had 35. The other game, he almost had a triple-double in game six. In game seven, he had like 37.
Yeah, but he was huff. Klay was the one that got them back in that game six, and then he came alive in the fourth quarter.
Steph ain't sneaking up on nobody no more.
My issue is he really that dude, or is he somebody that was a matrix for a little while, and once everybody figured him out a little bit, they could affect – I'm not going to put him on Dana Barrow. That's disrespectful. But are people figuring him out to where they can now affect his game? And if his game can be affected like that,
then I can't put him on the same level with KD and LeBron.
I don't think an elite catch. I just think like I think he gotta be more aggressive, especially again. I think the Cavs know how to guard him better than anybody. Like, I don't know what they do. It's funny because Kyrie can't guard any chair in here. So I don't.
But you know what? I really don't think it's about Kyrie. I really don't think it's about Kyrie defending him. I just think, look, man, Steph has a problem when he has to really be in tune every second of the game. See, Steph likes to be able to rest on defense, sag off his dude, chill, conserve, right, shoot 35-footers, conserve his energy. But when he literally has to stay on Kyrie every moment of the game, he doesn't get any rest.
Steph Curry,
it impacts
Steph Curry under the John Wall Act right now.
No, nobody's under the John Wall Act. Nobody's under the John Wall Act.